Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What a great victory for everybody. Thank you, America. Thank you very much.
Ah, that was the end of the president's speech last night at the Capital One Arena there in Washington, D.C. The village people came out and joined him on stage, and he did the Trump dance, and it was quite a celebration for those lucky enough to get inside. Can you imagine what security is like in Washington, D.C. right now? I mean, yeah, not just for the village people, because they're big stars as well, but I mean, just in general, we know they've had gates up, they've had drones flying overhead for a while now, and you can just imagine that there are a lot of puckered people in Washington, D.C. today, given the fact that the inauguration will go on. It'll just be inside the Capitol Rotunda. If you missed our conversation earlier with Congressman Bob Onder, you know, he's a member of Congress. There are 535 of them. The rotunda holds at most 600 when it doesn't have a stage and all that stuff in it. So they think they're going to be lucky to fit 500 people in there today. There may be Democrats who have no interest in going. I don't know. But none of them can bring spouses, the VIPs. It's going to be a crowded situation. There's no doubt about that. But that security issue popped up, and I thought, you know, I know somebody that can talk to us about that. How about Chief Steve Lewis from the city of Ellisville, who just spent quite a bit of time. I don't know if you would call that a sentence or what, but you just spent a few months in D.C., didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I spent a little over 6 months. Literally at FBI headquarters, and then my lodging was a block and a half from Capital One.
Wow. Wow. So I heard there were people lined up for almost three quarters of a mile yesterday down the street from Capital One, just trying to get in, standing in the rain. And, of course, that means that the security people had to be out there standing in the rain. And, I mean, D.C. has just got to – my guess is they've never seen anything quite like this.
No, I think number one is national special security events go. This is the largest probably in our country's history, number one. Number two, there are, you know, numerous active threats against the incoming president. And so based on that, the level of security is most definitely going to be unprecedented.
So do you think a security threat is really the reason why Trump's team decided to move this inside? Or do you think it truly is the cold weather like they're telling everyone?
No, I actually think it's the cold weather. I did have people contact me and tell me that they were throwing the flag on that one and saying they thought it was security related. But, you know, with the weather being what it is, they already have the assets in place. They have already mobilized a number of, you know, 25 plus thousand law enforcement and military people. The assets were in place, and changing it at that last minute actually creates a little bit more of some security concerns, because you have to change the playbook, right? They've been planning this. When I was in D.C., I think in July is when we started, or the Bureau started their Emergency Operations Center planning phase for this. Secret Service obviously worked on it much longer. So, no, I think that it's definitely weather-related.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking to Steve Lewis, the chief in Ellisville, who just spent a bunch of time in D.C. And you probably, I'm guessing, I'm not throwing names out, you probably know a bunch of the people who are on the ground, and you probably worked with some of those people when you were there in D.C. getting ready for this thing. What are some of the unique challenges to an event like this with it, this number of people?
Yeah, number one is just what you said, that number of people, right? You have to have physical barriers, so you're going to have to get those people to go where you want them to go and not go where you want them to go. So just putting out the physical barriers alone, and I think you reported on that several times, the amount of fencing and street closures, road closures, public transport closures. Then you've got technical barriers. You know, a big part of this is going to be done with security that people never see. So putting in place all of those devices that are necessary, and a lot of those are classified, but at the end of the day, just the equipment, and then putting together the bodies, the number of people. Think about it, 25,000 extra people in D.C. on top of the hundreds of thousands of other people, and all of a sudden you've got a logistical nightmare.
Because of the level of threats we've seen, the assassination attempts with Trump, do you think his presidency will look different in the sense that anytime he's doing an outdoor speaking event, and maybe this has been with past presidents, but anytime he does an outdoor speaking event, you would have the barrier between him and the audience, like little extra security steps that his team takes?
Yeah, I do believe that's in place. So I'm also a graduate of the Secret Service Dignitary Protection Seminar that I took in Washington, D.C. several years ago. And so I got a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. And while the Secret Service has taken criticism and, you know, maybe some of it was founded in the planning phase, right now I'm going to tell you he's going to be the most protected man on the planet.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the president can drive some of those features, though, and refuse certain things for sure. Now, he's close with his security team. I've heard that several times. He is very good to law enforcement. He appreciates the job they do. So he's going to have some input. I think it will be threat-based and dependent upon how far of a sight line can they protect. How can they control who gets in, who gets out? Inside events are going to be probably less concerning because you can control who comes in and really see who's bringing what. Outside events, yeah, I think you might see that. I mean, we have a president who's had two assassination attempts from domestic terror, I'm going to call it, and he's actually had state-sponsored terrorism that we know for a fact. It was released that, you know, there are countries that had plans to try and do something. That's a very serious threat.
Well, I guess he's not sitting on a beach in Delaware like Biden was, but he does play a lot of golf. Now, fortunately for him, most of those are at very exclusive private clubs, often his own.
Yeah, and when he does out, I mean, he's not going to stop. Look, Trump's Trump, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to stop being the man. What I think you will see is that those events, especially outdoor events, the level and span of control, and the reason I went to the Dignitary Protection Seminar with the Secret Service is my relationship with them when we had presidential visits and my work with helping them as a local law enforcement person. And so the Secret Service relies very heavily on local law enforcement. So the lift, whenever the president does things like that, truly goes down to the state and local law enforcement agencies, who then assign extra people, block roads, secure parking lots and perimeters. So all of that with President Trump is going to be at a next level, I believe.
Yeah. Chief Steve Lewis with us this morning. I know you're a member of the Police Chiefs Association. Are there any local members of law enforcement in D.C. this weekend? I know the call went out nationwide for people who wanted to volunteer.
Yeah, I believe that there are. I believe that, you know, from the federal side, from law enforcement, St. Louis, there absolutely are. This is an all-call event. And, you know, from locals, at least at the state level, I believe we've sent some National Guardsmen there. Yeah. There's probably law enforcement across the state that have traveled there. There is such a thing as too much as well, though. Again, they don't just want a body necessarily. They need people that are going to be able to effectively work within that environment. So they're probably starting with people a little bit closer, you know, to the event. Now, I know that states across the country, every state has sent someone to assist with this effort, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's great. Steve Lewis, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Always great to talk to you. Take care, and DJT Day, my friend.
DJT Day, that's right. We appreciate you. Thank you. Chief Steve Lewis there from the Ellsville PD. I knew he'd have some insight as to what was going on there in D.C. Just watching the live feeds here, Donald Trump and the former and once again future First Lady just left the Blair House where they were staying for a church service this morning. And we're looking at downtown D.C. right now. It's snow covered. There's snow all down the middle of the mall there leading up to the Capitol building. Of course, nobody's going to be sitting out in that today, but there's a lot of people there, including my friend Charlie, who's going to call in here at the bottom of the hour. He was headed over to get in line, I believe, to get back in the Capitol One Center later today, post-inauguration, to get a chance to see and hear Donald Trump, because he got blocked out yesterday. Didn't get in.
Well, looked like the doors just opened, or at least that's what CNN is saying, that the doors to the arena have opened.
Oh, they're opening them
so
early?
So it would be 8:15 D.C. time.
Okay.
So yeah. Maybe they opened at 8 o'clock. And I'm sorry, how long are we expecting the actual inauguration ceremony to last?
I don't know, 45 minutes?
I figured less than an hour.
I would guess. And
so maybe by 1 o'clock.
Well, at least they're not making Eastern people wait time. Outside. That makes sense. But of course, if they're inside, they're going to need services. They're going to probably be selling food, I would imagine. They're going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
At least they're letting people inside, so they'll know pretty quickly. We'll get a live update here, I think, in about 15 minutes from my friend Charlie, who's on the ground up there. We'll get to all that and more straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
This is an opportunity to come together. I'm not a naive person.
I got a hope. I'm miserable. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. I'm mad at everybody. thank you, Scott. Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, reminding us that we're supposed to. Look, if you're a progressive or a Democrat right now, if you're watching television, you're watching it probably with some substances, because he's going to unleash this blitzkrieg of attacks on everything we care about, immigrants, clean energy, and nothing we can do about it but watch this stuff. So I appreciate you, but I'm miserable. I'm upset. And I know you're going
to. I'm miserable. I've got no hope. That was, of course, Van Jones. From CNN, which I just enjoyed that so much that I just had to play that for you this morning, because you have to, sometimes you have to understand what it means to have no hope, right? And
now we're feeling what not having hope feels like.
Yeah, just saying. Excuse me while I revel in that as we welcome in the inauguration today of Joe Biden. Now, of Donald Trump.
Don't scare us,
Mark.
And
we get rid of Joe Biden because the guy's still doing damage even in the few hours he's got left. I mean, he's president for 3.5 more hours. And this is just he's pardoning people that haven't committed any crimes that we're aware of. We've got Chad Pergram live in D.C. this morning, of course, with Fox News. And Chad, thank you for giving me a few minutes. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. You just got hit up there with the latest round of pardons, right? With Anthony Fauci, correct?
Yeah, this is usually typical that there's some pardons that every president does going out the door. You know, there had been a lot of chatter about this, including something for Mark Milley, who was the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, anybody who worked on the January 6th committee investigation, both members and staff. Those are all within the wheelhouse here of these pardons that President Biden is basically signing going out the door. He indicated in his statement that he thought that nobody did anything wrong here, but he didn't want them to have to go through a potential prosecution. That's something that Democrats have been asking about. Asked Pam Bondi, the attorney general nominee, at her confirmation hearing last week, will inevitably ask Kash Patel, the FBI director nominee, whose hearing has not been scheduled yet. So that's something that's very front and center on behalf of the Democrats. And you know, there were a lot of controversial pardons that President-elect Trump did when he was going out the door some years ago. I was just thinking about some of his earliest supporters in Congress. You had Duncan Hunter Jr., who was a congressman from California. You had a congressman from New York. It just went on and on. There were several people who had issues there. And this is, again, very typical for presidents to do this. Maybe not quite at this late an hour, but it certainly happens.
Yeah, Collins. Preemptive pardons, though, would you say, Chad, are normal? I mean, we've seen a couple of those now.
Yes, we have. We have seen these all the time. I mean, there was a lot of chatter in the final hours of the Trump administration about who might have gotten a pardon and who got asked. So, and Mark, you know what? Hold on. They're asking me to be ready to go on the air here
okay.
On
right.
the TV side. So we're going to have to go, unfortunately. But we can get back with you
okay.
if you want.
I appreciate that, Chad. Thanks for your time. Okay. I get it. Yeah, absolutely. He's live up there in D.C. We always know that's a possibility when we go live with him on the radio side, that they may need to hop off of the air with us and go live on the Big Fox. So
Trump will be going to a church service, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, he is attending a church service. He left the Blair House, and he's heading over there to the church service now. And,
You know, talking about the big story, obviously, is that Trump's team made the decision to move everything inside. And I had been looking up some history on past inaugurations, and I had been reading about how President William Henry Harrison had insisted on giving some long inauguration speech in 1841. Supposedly, according to this article, it said he refused to wear proper warm clothing. The risky move led to a fatal case of pneumonia 31 days into his presidency. So he ended up dying April 4th, 1841. So basically, he was president for 30 days
because of his long-winded.
Well, I guess they're trying to say, he wasn't dressed properly, and he insisted on having it outside. I know we were speaking with Chief Steve Lewis from Ellisville PD, and he does believe that it was the cold weather, but there's just something. Yes, I do believe that may have been the primary reason, but I do think there may have been a secondary reason that has not been revealed to us.
And we may find out about it. I mean, if you don't want to tip off the people that you know are planning something like that, you would use weather as the excuse. So we may find out about it after the fact. That's the case. Kim, have you heard of Katie Hopkins?
I don't think so.
She's a British journalist. She was really big on Brexit and all of that stuff, involved in a lot of that stuff, and it has been sued by the British government for her. You know, they don't have free speech laws in England, so when you speak your mind over there, you get in trouble with the authorities. And I've had Katie over the years. I've had her on the show a few times, despite the time difference, and she's just been fantastic. She is in Washington, D.C. She flew there for the inauguration. She's a big fan of Donald Trump. And she was walking down the street. You can see the Capitol building over her shoulder as she's talking in this clip I'm going to play. And she's talking about this very issue, the security issue, and how disappointed people are that they're not going to be able to see this outdoor inauguration. But she also thinks at the same time that you need to see the forest for the trees. Listen.
The word is that it's not to do with the coal that this has been pulled, but absolutely to do with the security of President Trump. And I think that's actually a helpful thing, because for all of the brilliant patriots who've invested their time and their money and their effort to be in DC, obviously there's disappointment. But if it was just about cold weather, patriots will walk through fire for Donald Trump. Patriots will freeze to death for Donald J. Trump. Patriots have gone to prison for Trump, you know, so it would be like, I don't care if I get hypothermia, I want to see him inaugurated. The idea that it's actually about security makes it much better, because if there's one thing we're all sure about is we just want him to get into that White House.
I think that's very true. It's almost like you can have it more settled in your mind if you know it's truly about security, because, you know, I feel very hopeful. I think a lot of us are feeling that today, kind of like this weight off of our shoulders, off of our back, that we've had for the last 4 years leading up until today. But you have to go into this term sober-minded, knowing that this man has constant attacks and threats. This man is hated by a number of people who essentially want him dead, and that's going to continue. So we need to be praying for him and his family and the threats that will no doubt come.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. The threats are going to continue throughout his time. Look, they are. They've now taken Chad Pergram live.
Who's going to be in attendance today? Because just doing the math, I know some representatives have decided not to attend from the Democratic Party. But the ones that have decided, we're talking about big numbers when we're talking about the House, the Senate, and their spouses. That takes up a large portion of the real estate there. So who's going to get to 10 after that?
Yeah, you would have 541 total people if you include.
Yeah, see, there's Chad reporting live on Fox News right now. That's why he had to beg off our interview. But we might be able to get him back on here. We'll see. He's talking about who's going to get in and who's not to the Capitol Rotunda. Hopefully, we are going to get a live report from my friend Charles, who's in D.C. right now, standing in a very long line. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much, everybody. What a good feeling. We like winning, don't we, huh? We're going to make our country greater than ever before. Hello, Washington, and hello, America. We're all over America. I'm thrilled to be back with so many friends, supporters, and true American patriots on the eve of taking back our country. That's what we're going to do, take back our country. Tomorrow at noon, the curtain closes on four long years of American decline, and we begin a brand new day of American strength and prosperity, dignity, and pride.
Yes, we do. Today at 12:01 will be the end of an era, and Joe Biden will be sent back into Delaware or wherever he's off to. I don't know. Hey, I asked my friend Charlie Dalton to call in. He is in Washington, D.C., where I am not. And I thought I'd call him this morning because he's in line already. Charlie, what's your status this morning, my friend?
Well, I am in line in order to get in line.
Okay.
And we walked over a mile and a half to get into this line so far. We're in Chinatown, and they have barricades going back and forth in the street so people don't just form a mob. And it is in a very electric environment. I was here 8 years ago, and I can say the crowd is more enthusiastic for Trump this time than they were last time. And the pink protesters we had to deal with 8 years ago were significantly larger in number than what we're dealing with this time.
That's good. That's good. So you're trying to get into Capital One Arena today. Is that correct? Is that why you're over there early?
That's my best attempt, but you call it early, but there were people here at 8:30 last night in line.
Gosh.
Wow. And,
yeah. The line that we're trying to get into, I would say we've already passed 20,000 people. So the chances of us getting in today are very slim.
What are you expecting for this parade that he's now going to hold inside the arena?
I'm expecting
how's that going to work?
Be there. But I don't know. I was thinking about that. You know, how do you have a parade that's maybe 100 yards long? And I just don't, without seeing it, I can't even describe how I think it would work. But the crowd is flowing. We're still moving. And like I said, I've already walked about a mile and a half, and I think I can see the line to get in the line about a half mile away. So it's
wow.
At least a 2 mile long line.
That's crazy. So, like, if you're talking to other people who are there, like from all over the country, are they disappointed that this thing isn't going to be outdoors today?
Well, everyone's disappointed that they don't get to go to the inauguration. And yes, we are. In fact, we made some friends from San Jose, and they love it here, and we're having a great time together. But and everybody we're bumping into is the same way. We saw a few protesters yesterday at the Lincoln Memorial, but otherwise it's been everybody's exuberant. And despite the fact that we're not going to be at the actual ceremony, Everybody's still happy, even though they're standing in line.
What is the weather like, Charlie?
You know what? I overdressed. I actually have my coat in my hand because it's not nearly what they said it was going to be, which leads me to believe perhaps that this was changed more of us for security purposes than it was weather purposes.
Interesting. Yeah, I wondered about that. Well, I tell you, my friend, good luck. I hope you get in there. I know you were. It was frustrating yesterday. You waited in line for what, 2 hours in the rain?
Actually, it started as rain, and then it turned to giant mouse-type snowflakes. That's some great pictures. But you talked about the security. The security is beefed up here more than it was 8 years ago. And if they had had security like this here 4 years ago in a couple of weeks, there would not have been any entry into the Capitol building.
Yeah.
But we were denied as American citizens the protections that we deserved by a party that was just very spiteful.
Could not agree with that anymore, my friend. Charlie Dalton, listen, have fun today. Good luck. I hope you get a chance to at least get a glimpse of the man.
Well, we're in Chinatown, so we're going to get some good food, if nothing else. And and watch it all on TV where it's nice and warm and maybe have a sake.
Absolutely. All right, man. I'll see you when you get back. Be safe.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye. Take care. All right. Charlie Dalton, our friend who was in D.C. And, yeah, it makes me wish I'd – somebody was commenting on Facebook earlier. Mark, why are you in studio and not in D.C.? Well, Charlie left Thursday, right? And he was driving – driving to D.C. He was about 100 miles outside of D.C. on Friday when he discovered that when the news broke that they were moving the inauguration indoor.
Ugh.
So he was already committed. Like, yep. I wasn't yet. I wasn't leaving until Saturday. So we looked at the situation and we thought, well, you know, I mean, being there is being there. But if there's no outdoor activity whatsoever, there's no guarantee we'd be able to get into Capital One Arena. There's like no VIP status that's unless you're a member of the Trump administration that's going to get you in there. I just don't. I've been to D.C. before. I don't want to go as a tourist. I wanted to go see Donald Trump take the oath of office. And when I realized that wasn't going to be possible, we just canceled our trip. We canceled the hotel reservations. We didn't lose any money. We didn't have airline reservations pending or anything like that. So I made the tough decision. I still kind of wish I was there. But hearing what Charlie's going through, I mean, they got up at they got out there and got in line 4 or 5 hours before the president's due to be at Capital One Arena after the inauguration. And they're still probably not going to get in. He said he's a half mile away from the point where they start to wind through the gates to get in. And he's sure the arena is going to fill up. Capacity's 20,000.
He thought he already had seen about 20,000 people who had been in line.
Yes.
Lining up since 8 o'clock. So those,
last night.
So those crazies camped out in
overnight.
Probably overnight. It was in the teens.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I get it. I mean, you've been saying this, that the Trump supporters would walk on glass. They would walk through fire for that man. And so that's why I've been so adamant that I really do feel there's some security component to why it's moved inside.
Well,
because Trump would suck it up. The security would suck it up. The supporters would absolutely suck it up.
It's interesting to hear Charlie make that observation since he's there. The weather is not as bad as they were told it was going to be. 20 degrees. There's some wind. But, you know, I think it was colder in 1985 when they canceled Reagan's inauguration outside.
It was 7.
Yeah, it was colder then. And I think, to Katie Hopkins' point, people would walk through fire, certainly stand out and risk hypothermia to get to see him get sworn in. So the important thing is he's going to get sworn in, and he's going to start reversing all of the damage that has been done to America to whatever extent that he can. It doesn't mean the leftists aren't insane over this whole thing. There's a CNN host named Michael Ian Black. I don't know Michael Ian. I'm looking at his face here.
He's an actor.
But he does host a show on CNN somewhere for some reason. And he did not like what he saw. He's already texting out blanking impeach him. He's mad that Trump did the Trump coin. And he thinks it's Trump trying to enrich himself off the presidency. I wonder if he realizes that Donald Trump has already donated his salary for his entire 4 years to, like, veterans causes. Does he know that? Do you think he cares? He doesn't care. They're already talking about impeaching Trump, the left, before he ever even gets back into office.
Well, I'm sure AOC has already met with her other groupies to try to figure out how to do that.
Oh, they're all Schumer, all of them. I'm certain that's they're already plotting ways they can foil him or stop him or do whatever they can do. This is not a surprise, but the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, a crazy leftist in London, is warning of the resurgent fascism
with
the return of Donald Trump to the White House.
I saw colleges were putting out articles on how kids can be less anxious, telling kids to stay off social media, not watch news coverage, because surely this is going to bring up a lot of feelings.
Yeah. Well, speaking of feelings, I never, ever, ever watch Saturday Night Live, but I happened to be watching it. I was switching around. I was about to go to bed, and I saw it, and I saw that Dave Chappelle was the host, the guest host. And I thought, all right, I'm going to switch over and just see what this is. And I caught just the tail end of his monologue, which went on for like 20 minutes. They let him do an entire comedy routine at the top of the show. which is probably some of the best ratings SNL's had in a while. He doesn't like Donald Trump, as you can imagine. He's almost pro-Palestinian, it sounds to me like. This is what Dave Chappelle said to Donald Trump the other night on Saturday Night Live. Go to Cut 7.
So, Donald Trump, I know you watch the show. Man, remember, whether people voted for you or not, they're all counting on you. Whether they like you or not, they're all counting on you. The whole world is counting on you. And I mean this when I say this. Good luck. Please, do better next time. Please, all of us, do better next time. Do not forget your humanity. And please have empathy for displaced people, whether they're in the Palisades or Palestine. Thank you very much, and good night.
Yeah, that was Dave Chappelle's. He did say, he said good luck. I think he, you know, a lot of them on the left that hated Donald Trump are, you know, they're not going to come over to his side. But a month ago, they were calling him Hitler, 2 months ago, and now they're sort of, okay.
Well, I mean, even if you don't like the president, like, I didn't like that Joe Biden was elected, but you're rooting for him in the sense that you're hoping he doesn't destroy the nation.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of, you mentioned Palestine, I was watching video of their pictures, at least, of the three women who were released, the first three hostages that Hamas has released as part of the ceasefire deal. And what stuck out to me, did you notice at least two of the women, it looked like, were missing some fingers?
Oh, I did not.
Bandaged up.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I don't know circumstances of it, but I will tell you, at least from what I saw, it appeared like two of the three women had been missing, I would say, at least two fingers each.
Wow.
So I don't know if that was like torture or like a bomb or
what. Oh, I'm
what,
sure they were tortured.
Oh, I can't even think about it. But I'm happy. I'm so happy for those three women who were reunited with their families.
Man alive. All right. Well, we're going to continue our Inauguration Day coverage. Just so you know, things are a tad different here this morning. We're going to carry the Brian Kilmeade Show live starting at 8 with their coverage of the church service and everything leading up to the inauguration, so we can get you some national coverage here on 97.1 FM Talk. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. You recognizing this song, Kim?
Am I recognizing this song? Do you know how old I am, Mark? Come on now. Are you recognizing this song? Did you want to rap for us a little bit?
If I heard it on the car radio, I would not immediately be able to name you the artist.
I would turn the song up if I heard it on
the
radio.
Carl's like, I can't believe you. Of course, it's Nelly.
This song's right? 25 years old.
I know, but I didn't listen to it 25 years ago. So that doesn't mean anything to me.
By the way, Kim, Mark requested us to play this here. Not me forcing it down our throats.
I did request. I said, could you play some Nelly? And he goes, I've already got it queued up. And I'm like, perfect.
Only because he saw that Nelly's performing at one of the balls tonight.
Yes.
Of course that's why. Come on. That's how this works.
Want him to play some Snoop Dogg?
We're segueing into this. So Nelly is performing at the Liberty Ball tonight, where I might have had tickets had this thing gone down the way it was supposed to. And so he's going to play at the Liberty Ball, which is the one where the military generally attends. And Nelly has agreed, along with a couple of other people, to play there tonight. Carrie Underwood is performing during the ceremony, apparently. I assume that's still happening. The Village People you've seen already. Just a whole number of people coming together. And as you can imagine, Nelly has taken a great deal of grief for this. And this was his reaction to it. And I just wanted to read it to you because he tweeted this out. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because it's an honor. I respect the office. It don't matter who is in office. The same way our men and women, our brothers and sisters who protect this country, have to go to war and have to put their life on the line for whoever is in office. So if they can put their life on the line for whoever's in office, I can sure perform, he says damn sure perform, for whoever is in office. And I would ask critics to show me where he's a white supremacist, end quote, from Nelly.
Wow.
Defending his decision to perform there in the nation's capital.
Gavin DeGraw, like I mentioned, Snoop Dogg, Jason Aldean, who's very open about his support for Trump, Rascal Flatts, Kid Rock, also very open, Billy Ray Cyrus. That one surprised me a little bit.
Snoop Snoop was the one of the ones that called for his head to be cut off or something at one point.
Years I think
ago.
He like fake shot him or something. I mean, obviously, fake shot him, but they're during a music video years ago.
They're all coming along now because they know where their bread is buttered. so anyway, I just thought I would throw that out there just so people know. Do we have Chad back on the line?
Yeah, he
we
called
do.
Back. Like
How
he
about
said
that?
He would.
All right, we have network
I'm
news
a man
starts.
Of my word.
Chad
wow,
Pergram
Chad.
Is back. We appreciate
we heard
that.
You on TV.
I'm a man of my word. Sorry about that. We were kind of on standby, and they're hollering to get on the air, and you know how that is.
I
so
do.
Thank you for your understanding.
I appreciate you giving me a few more minutes there. Thank you. I said to
in
Carl,
in your case, Mark is a fellow Miami guy. They're always probably yelling at you to get off the air.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Ah, but that's true. You know, I heard what you were reporting there was about the space in the Capitol Rotunda. What do you know about that, Chad, and how many people they can squeeze in there?
You know, they're going to be lucky if they get about 600 people in there, frankly. I was told that that was pushing it. And again, you know, not all members of Congress are going to go. If you took everybody, all 535 members, House and Senate, and the six non-voting delegates from the American Samoa, or the U.S. Virgin Islands, or Washington, D.C., you're up to about 541. We're told that maybe a couple of spouses, maybe not. I suspect maybe a few people will get in just because, and this always happens, somebody happens to be in the right place at the right time, and they get in and somebody else doesn't get in. So that'll be the case. But I think it's going to be about 600 people. And if you look back at Reagan's inauguration, which was indoors due to weather in January of 1985, 40 years ago, to the day, they had about 1,000 people in there. But
wow.
There wasn't as much structure in the rotunda that they had in terms of here. They've built a little bit of a stage. They built this kind of red carpet. It looks very regal. That was not the case with Reagan back in 85.
Oh, okay. He just walked up to the middle of the rotunda and got
kind
sworn
of.
In.
Yeah. It was kind of that way, and people just kind of stood around the perimeter. There wasn't as much TV production, which is ironic if you think about it with Reagan.
Any representatives from the country of Greenland going to be there today?
You know, that I've not heard. I don't know. You know, there are dignitaries like, you know, there are some foreign leaders who, at least on the original plan, were expecting to be here. Sometimes you would have, you know, the ambassador, et cetera, you know, Greenland is not its own country. It's under the aegis of Denmark.
Right.
But, you know, it would not be out of the ordinary to have somebody from Denmark here or certainly Canada, one of our best allies. You know, but again, nobody seems to know when we ask these questions who's in and who's out. I think we'll just find out when they show up at noon.
Chad, to the important news here, the marching band from Middletown High School was invited to participate in the parade, which is now allegedly happening inside of Capital One Arena, right?
That's my understanding. The Middies.
The Middies.
Wear purple, no less. Yes.
So they'll still be performing, right? They're planning on somehow, squeezing these bands or performers into this arena, and maybe they'll just walk in a circle.
And again, a little bit of the detail there is sketch as well, because I can imagine them doing like a little bit of a parade where they walk around in a circle around where the basketball court or where the ice would be for the arena for the Capitals when they play hockey. We just don't know what this is going to look like. I mean, they did something similar to this in 85 also at the old later called the US Air Arena, but it was the
right.
Cap Center, which is where the Capitals and then the Bullets played, which is in suburban Maryland. Georgetown used to play there as well, the famous Georgetown teams from the 1980s. But I mean, again, this has all been thrown together at the last minute, so nobody's quite sure who's going to get in, who's out, who will play, who will perform. It's very strange.
Chad Pergram, you're a great American and a man of your word. Thanks for calling us back.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a great day. We appreciate it. Chad's great. He and I grew up near Middletown, Ohio, if you are unaware of that. He's a fellow Miami University graduate, so we kind of tease about that whenever I get him on here. My dad used to work for his uncle at one point at the steel mill there in Middletown, Ohio. So it's just a small world sometimes, isn't it?
Especially in the media world.
I know. In the media world. Very true. All right. You know what? How much time we got here, Carl?
Less than a minute.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just trying to figure out what our out time was. Just so you know, things are a little different today. Normally, obviously, we go till 9 a.m. Given what's going on in D.C., there's now a church service underway at St. John's and like. We are going to end the show now, and we're going to take you live to the Brian Kilmeade show, which will kick off just at the top of the hour here with live Fox News coverage of the ceremonies today and the inauguration. We'll carry the inauguration for you live right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Stay tuned. We'll have full coverage for you all day long, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.